This is the second half of the Carol and John show. Don't worry, Leonard, we'll let you do the sermon. It's okay. Scripture today is taken from Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 18. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by these wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. This completes the reading for today.
Thank you, John. As I've already said, it's a little bit of a letdown after Christmas Eve and Christmas. We had a wonderful church service, and then Christmas morning you got up and you opened your presents and you celebrated with family and friends and had a very good time. And then some of you, later on, you went back out to the malls and exchanging some of your gifts and looking for deals to go, even buying Christmas things for next year, cards and maybe lights that are out there and are discounted. But life is kind of getting back to our day-to-day routines. Not quite yet, and we still get through the new year and that celebration, but we're starting to change. The frenzy over the past few weeks of Advent and the shopping and the meals and everything that we do, going to the malls, is starting to settle down a little bit. And what is left? Because we're not really thinking so much about Christmas. And for a few weeks, I decided I wasn't going to watch the news. So I haven't seen a news broadcast in about 3 weeks. And I will tell you, I feel a lot happier. Because when I'm watching it, I see terrorism in France and California and around the world. And it kind of brings you down. And homeless people sleeping in door stoops, you know, and you're getting the letters asking for money. And hungry people begging for food. Worries about our health and our family that seems more real for some reason during the holidays. Jobs that wear us down. Aging parents that take our time and we worry about them. And then a host of other issues that confront us on a daily basis. And we're just 2 days from celebrating the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. But there is that inevitable letdown. It's natural. We cannot stay on a high forever. So much was packed in these 4 weeks. And we can talk about keeping Christmas all year long, but I don't know that we could handle it. I tell you, as a minister, I couldn't handle it. I can't. And we don't want the clogged streets around Ross Mall that you can't even find a parking space. We want to be able to drive and get up real close so we don't have to walk across that parking lot so we can spend all the time walking circles in the mall. And who can maintain the pace of eating? I know I have kind of a strict diet, and I got off of my diet, and then that brings a stomach ache, as some of you had, from eating rich foods that you don't normally eat and eating twice as much as you might normally eat. And then there's the holiday cheer. We might drink a little too much and not used to that. And it affects us. The rich desserts, the cakes, the pies, the cookies, the candy, not to mention all those delicious, fattening meals. So actually, I think all of us need a little break from Christmas. You know, Mary and Joseph weren't allowed to live in Bethlehem. Neither can we. It's back to the real world, at least until we get through New Year's, and it'll really be back to the real world. Back to school, back to our normal work, back to everything that we do on a daily basis. But you know what happened to Mary and Joseph and the babe after Christ's birth. After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. He said, "Get up and take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of King Herod. The Holy Family left just in time for when Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the wise men. He was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys around 2 years old and younger. So horrifying. I can't even imagine that. And after Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So Joseph got up, took Mary and the child, and went to the land of Israel, as he was told. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father, Herod, he was afraid to go there, and who wouldn't be? And having been warned in a dream, Joseph withdrew to the district of Galilee, and there he raised his family in a town called Nazareth. And that's why we always say Jesus of Nazareth instead of Jesus of Bethlehem. We complain because we have to go back to work and the everydayness of life after Christmas and the holidays. But our world, at least in the U.S., does not compare to the world of this young family celebrating. We've been celebrating these past few weeks in Advent and Christmas Eve and Christmas and the television shows and all the music that we love so much. They lived in a world much different than you and I live in, closer to some of the third world countries today. Lived in a world where a king could order all the infants, 2 years and younger, to be killed, to be put to death. I can't even imagine that. I can't imagine a king even being willing to give that order. They lived in a world that did not have the creature comforts that we have. We're so blessed with air conditioning and comfortable homes, and we can get on a jet and we can fly across the country, or we can get in our automobiles with cruise control and air conditioning and radio and Cirrus and iPods, and we can listen to our music and we can travel in comfort. We can pull over just about a host of motels or hotels and spend the night in comfort. They had no 7-Elevens to stop at. They couldn't stop and get a Pepsi and some Cracker Jacks or whatever for a little boost and refresh. Whatever the means of transportation, it was a hard, tiring journey for them. They lived in a world where even after Herod's death, they could not be certain that they would be safe. For Christmas is over, at least on the calendar. So where does that leave us? The manger is just the beginning of God's plan for humanity. There's still so much more to be done. This babe must grow up. He must learn life's lessons, and he must grow up into an adult, teach his disciples. Then he must go to the cross and die. Then he must be resurrected and ascend into heaven. I can't imagine having the life of Jesus, knowing that you're going to have to go through all of that. And then his followers, not received the Holy Spirit yet. They hide and they're scared because their lives may be on the line. But after they received the Holy Spirit, they became empowered, bold, and they began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then passed down through the centuries, 2,000 years later, until we get to the year 2015. So how do we live our lives until Jesus comes again? What do we do? How do we act? How do we feel? We do what Joseph did during those dark days of... He trusted God. It's really that simple. And we make it out to be really hard. He was warned in a dream to flee Herod's wrath. And what did he do? Did he sit around and discuss this with his wife and say, and talk to some people? Say, you know, do you really think this is what I should do? You know, I had this dream. Angels came to me. But, you know, is that really real? No. He trusted. He had his faith. And he immediately packed his bags and hightailed it out of there. Joseph trusted God. Then just as he trusted God when the angel told him there was a child within Mary. That had to be a very hard, a very difficult circumstance in his life to know that his betrothed was already pregnant and not by him. But you know, Mary did not argue. She didn't say, come on, Joseph, a dream that the king is going to kill our baby. You know, get real, Joseph. That's just not going to happen. I'm tired and I don't want to travel. Why don't you just go down to the Giant Eagle and get us something to eat and bring it back. We'll have a nice meal. But no, that's not what happened. She trusted Joseph because Joseph trusted God, and she already realized what kind of a man she had in Joseph. She realized what his character was, and that he loved her, and that he loved this new baby, and that he loved his heavenly Father. I think that we can say that he was a man of true faith, that he was what we would like to say, a real man. So an angel comes to Joseph in a dream and tells him not to be afraid of taking Mary and his wife, even though he's with child. Then Matthew tells us when Joseph woke, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. And we've already noted when an angel came and told him to take Mary and the child and to flee to Egypt, Matthew tells us, so Joseph got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt. Not a few days later, not even the next morning, but that very night, obeyed God and went. Come on, Mary, we've got to go. I've heard from our Lord, and he says that our child, our new son, is in danger. That was Joseph. God spoke, and Joseph acted on what he heard from God. And we all need that kind of faith, that complete trust in God's will and his way. First thing we need to do after Christmas is to keep trusting God. Believe that God is there and don't allow doubt to come into your heart, into your mind. Another thing we need to take care of and think about, just as Joseph did, we need to take care of those whom we love. And we kind of take that for granted. We go, sure. But that was Joseph's really his primary concern. He loved Mary and he loved Jesus. And he was committed to doing whatever needed to be done to take care of his family financially, materially, emotionally, and spiritually. And that is what we do after Christmas is past. We keep trusting and we keep taking care of those whom we love. We understand their gifts to us from God, and if we're not already doing it, we need to make sure that we treat our family with love, with dignity, and with respect. And we need to remember the reason that Christ came into the world, to bring the gift of salvation and eternal life. Because we get so caught up in Christmas and buying presents and giving and parties that all of us have a tendency to forget, to not make Jesus' birth and what has happened the priority of Christmas. Christ came in the world for one reason alone, because God, our Heavenly Father, so loved the world. God loves us. He cares for us. And Christmas itself is centered in love. So we want to keep the Christmas spirit all year long, even though we won't be talking about Christmas, even though the holidays will be over. Christmas really should never be over in our lives. It should be with us every single day when we wake up and we're going through our workday, or we're in the hospital, or whatever the situation, and when we get ready to go to sleep, we should be thinking about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's good to take care of those we love. However, as people of faith, we need to understand that we have to take care of other people also. Those who are less fortunate, those who do not have homes, those who do not have food to eat, those who are hurting, those who are crying out, those who are suicidal, those who are mentally ill. Everyone, it is our responsibility. And I know we, a lot of times, don't think, well, this is not my job, that's not my responsibility. But that's not what the Bible teaches us. The Christmas is over, but the Christmas spirit should remain with us all year long. So trust God. Take care of those that you love and love your neighbors. And may you be blessed on this first Sunday after Christmas. And may you allow Christmas and all that it stands for to radiate from your heart, from your mind, from your very being. May God bless you. Amen.